The lesson that I've chosen to present this morning is For a Moment. For a Moment, that's the title. And life certainly has a lot of afflictions. And Paul uses that word, if you'll turn to our scripture reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that'll be our text. And we'll go away from it just occasionally. But I wanted to focus in on verses 16 to 18. But life does have a lot of afflictions. And that word is defined as pressings or pressures, troubles, distresses, anguishes. And all of us understand that life does have that. And if you have lived any length of time, you have experienced some of those afflictions of life. Maybe it was the death of a parent, or maybe it was the death of a spouse, or perhaps a brother or a sister. Some of you, maybe even a child, which is got to be very, very difficult. Maybe you deal with sickness. Maybe there is other health issues, or maybe there's some type of weakness. Maybe there's a financial hardship that you're afflicted with, or maybe there's been relationships that have been broken or have caused a lot of affliction or distresses or trouble. There are many things that create these pressures or distresses in life. There are very natural afflictions that occur. And if you look at Paul's list of hardship, turn over to chapter 11. As I said, we would go away and come back. But if you look at chapter 11, and if you look verse 24 to 28, you'll see a lot of the physical type things that he endured. He says, from the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles. This is talking about dangers, and dangers in the cities, in the perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, and sleepless often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what came upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. So if you look at Paul's list of hardship, it was because he was a preacher, he was a minister, that's the context. And I don't think any of us would doubt what Paul is talking about and the kind of things that he had to deal with and the kinds of things that he dealt with as a minister and as the fact that he was a man of the flesh, and even with a thorn in the flesh. But I want you to also look at chapter 6, so turn back just a little bit, and look at verses 4 through 10 in that chapter, and I'll kind of bring out the context there, but look at what he says, and we're going to begin, that says 4, we're going to begin in verse 3. Where he says, but even if our gospel is veiled, let me make sure I'm in the right place, chapter 6, verse 3, we give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. So he's specifically talking about his ministry as a gospel preacher, and he's defending in some ways his apostleship as a preacher. Now you remember, he suffered a lot of these afflictions we just read because of being a minister and him doing the work of a minister of Christ. But notice he says, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers, verse 4 of God. And he commends themselves as, and I think he has the apostles in mind as well, but he says, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings. And so here we have the apostle talking about how he has these afflictions that he deals with. And I want you to note, and I put this up here, that there is this, he says, in. But now notice what he switches to. He says, instead of saying in, he says, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering. So in these things, now it's by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. as deceivers and yet true. So he goes through a series of some contrast there as he's talking about, okay, I'm a preacher, I've gone through these things, and he says, I've done that. But notice now he switches in verse 9, he starts using this word as. So by honor, by dishonor, now he comes to verse 9, as unknown and yet well known. Again, contrast. As dying, and behold, we live. As chastened and yet not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. And what I wanted to emphasize here is, how do you deal with afflictions? How do you go through life and deal with these things? And if you notice, Paul there at the end, while his ministry is in distresses, yet he met them head on with the well-being of others in mind. And that's his point, making many rich. I suffered poor, being poor, but yet others were made rich. So it was with others in mind that he did this. And it also, if you look at the having nothing yet possessing all things, it's an attitude, it's a mindset. And it, when we come back to our text now in the fourth chapter, where he's going to use some contrast, I'm looking at this idea of, again, how do I deal with afflictions? And you're going to see one, as he says there in chapter 6, I'm thinking of others, I'm doing these things for others. I may be suffering, but I'm doing things, I may be unknown, but yet known. I may have honor or dishonor, but in all of those things, it was always for the spreading of the gospel and for the good. Now back in our text, let's begin reading in verse 16, and I'll read through 17, which we read, but we'll read now verse 16, 17, 18. He says, therefore we do not lose heart, Paul said, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, what I want you to notice is, here are these distresses in life that we have, and they're met by the contrast that Paul is making here in our context. So I'm going to look at these contrasts. And what I want you to focus in on is how do you go through life and deal with life? Well, it's going to be through these contrasts and really your perception and your view of things in life. And so a lot of it is attitude. A lot of it really does have to do with our attitude and where our aim is. And I think that you'll see that very clearly as we go through some of these contrasts. Now, here's the first one. He says that there is the outward man, and yet there is the inward man. And we understand that. We each have an outward man. And I'm thankful that you ladies, when I say an outward man, the way the scriptures use it, are not offended by the generic term that is used, man, that talks about the man and the woman. And it's sad that you'd have to say that, but that's the world that we live in. And I'm thankful that I don't have to sit here and apologize or somehow try to fumble around not offending somebody when he calls it an inward man and an outward man, because you understand that that word can refer to mankind, both man and woman, and you don't take offense. So I'm greatly appreciative of that. But you understand that. You understand that you have an outward person, and each of us have a body. It's the body that we look at in the mirror. It's the body that we take care of in grooming and brushing our teeth and bathing. It's the body that we take care of and we give it nourishment, and on we do. And it is what the rest of the world sees. It's what I physically see. I recognize you because I can see your physical body. So I know Steve doesn't look like Donald, and I could pick him out because I know which is which, because that's who you are, and that's your outward person. We understand that. But notice that there's also the inward man, and we also know this. So I'm not telling you anything new, but notice you've got the outward and you've got the inward that cannot be seen, but you know what? It has to be cared for as well. And that's where a lot of people don't realize that the inward being that we have It needs to be cared for as well. And I wish that those that are maybe spiritually weak or those that are not Christians could understand how important that truth is. But I also want you to notice that the two are independent of one another. And in some ways, of course, they're dependent. But I also want you to notice the independence of the inward and the outward person. And that's highlighted in the next one. Because they're independent of one another, because one can be perishing and the other can be renewed. And let me illustrate this in the opposite of what Paul's point is. While you may be working on your physical fitness, I mean, you might be, and my days are long gone for any of that, but you may be, in fact, we've got someone that's their livelihood. They're part of the intramural type things over here at UNA. And so you know what I'm talking about. So you might say, I'm the most physically fit I've ever been in my life. And you can do that. You can be so much about your physical part, but guess what? You know, it's renewed. Every day you get up feeling stronger and stronger, but guess what's perishing? The spiritual man is perishing. The spiritual body is perishing. But Paul's point is actually the opposite. And he's saying, now listen, your outward body, which happens to all of us, it begins to fall apart with the aches and the pains. It's not meant to be eternal. It is going to wear out. And we learn that in Ecclesiastes right before chapter 11 when he talks about the fact that the body is going to, in the beginning of chapter 12, the body is going to fall apart. And before the eyes don't work, or the carpal tunnel syndrome that you got to deal with in the morning, or Lisa, she's dealing with neck problems and shoulder problems, the aches and pains of life that you deal with. The wonderful thing is your inward man, it can and is independent in that regards. Do you understand that? Because that's his point. The outward man is perishing, but he says, you know what? The inward man is renewed day by day. You can meet the stresses of life with that truth in mind. Do you understand that? You can grow spiritually while the rest of you is falling apart. As long as you have your mental faculty, you can get stronger in the Word of God, and you can be renewed every day. Every morning is a new day. Another day, we often say, well, at least I'm 6 feet above the ground. Put that aside and understand that the spiritual person can be, I'm doing great because I'm getting stronger in my faith. My hope is so much clearer. My love for God and for my brethren and for the Lord's church and for people, for my neighbor, for my enemy, that is growing stronger because I understand what the Scriptures are teaching me. And so there's a contrast there. So again, going back to Paul and what he's talking about is these afflictions. How do you deal with that? Well, you realize you got two parts and that one can be perishing, but you know what? The other one can be renewed and stronger each and every day. And so we often say something like, well, they got the weight of the world on their shoulders. The weight of the world on their shoulders. Well, you know what? You can take all of that off because, again, you can know that the spiritual part of you is getting stronger and stronger every day. In fact, I think that picture, yes, I guess I had, it comes up with the next point. So the contrast here is light, and it's talking about weight, not light as in lights, but light as in it's not heavy, versus heavy. So he's made another contrast. And so it's hard to think of our afflictions as having little or no weight upon us, because it sure doesn't feel that way, does it? It doesn't feel that way. It feels heavy. But Paul wants us to see them as having little or no weight. That's what he's wanting us to understand. I want you to change your perspective, and I want you to start viewing things as they really don't have a lot of weight to them. And I'm telling you, when you're going through afflictions and troubles and pressures and distresses, as we have defined that word, it sure feels that way, doesn't it? And that's why that picture, again, it feels like you got the weight of the world on your shoulders. And to deal with these moments, we must place this life and the next life in perspective. You see, what happens is, how do you view life that way? How do you get to the point where you can understand what Paul is saying? We've already looked and highlighted all of the afflictions, physical, that he went through. And he says, on top of all that, he mentions the chore or the task or the difficulties that come, the burdens of brethren and worrying about them and thinking about them and concerned about the church. How did he deal with that? How could he turn around and say, you know, that's just a light affliction? That doesn't really have a lot of weight. Are you with me? How do you do that? Well, that's what he's going to help us do. He's going to help us by telling us what is light and what has weight. So if we're comparing the distresses of life to glory, see, now what lies ahead in glory makes what we're dealing with today light, very light. And so that's his next contrast. He's got, okay, let's talk about what I'm calling something that doesn't have a lot of weight and what I'm saying has weight. And so what he does is he contrasts afflictions and glory. Well, afflictions, as it is contrast, are light. And it's their light when they are compared to glory. So now my mind has to say, okay, what makes glory have weight? Well, the word glory is the most exalted state. That's what that word means. That's how he's using it here. What has weight? Your most exalted state. And where is that going to take you? See, that's going to take you to eternal things. That's going to take you to where you're in a different realm, and it has so much weight. It's what the Bible tries to get us to understand, that we can't make a comparison here to what you see and what you deal with here, because what's in heaven and what's been prepared, why, that's just indescribable. That's something that it's hard to comprehend. That has all of the weight. And so you have to put things in perspective. Look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 2. So hold your place, but look at what he says in Romans chapter 2 in verse 6 and 7. So in verse 6 he says, "Who will render each one according to his deeds?" Verse 7, "Eternal life to those who by patience, continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality." Now he goes on and says, but those that aren't, that. But I want you to see what he says. Eternal life. For who? Who by patient continuance is doing good, and what are they seeking? Seek for what? Glory. What's glory? Seek for the exalted state. So where is your mindset? Well, you're able to, in your mind, you're able to say, okay, what I'm dealing with now really doesn't have a lot of weight. It may feel that way, but the Bible's saying it doesn't. Those afflictions. It's saying, you know where all the weight is? It's in glory, in the exalted state. So you look for that. It far outweighs anything in this life. Is that another good way to put it? It far outweighs anything in this life. And think about how much this truth can help you mentally deal with afflictions that are sure to come. Yes, afflictions to come. But you know what? Glory is coming as well. And so you have to wrap your mind around that thought. Now another one he says moment versus eternal. And so now here's another contrast. It's for a moment versus something that is eternal, a period of time that has no end. And so what he's saying, you know what, afflictions are brief. Well, when you put it on the eternal timeline, it is. By the way, do you see your life on that line? Anybody spot it? It's that little dot right over here. It's what Paul says, it's for a moment. And I have the line going both ways because it it's a time that never had a beginning, and it's going the other direction, and it never has an end, and there you are. Would that not put things in perspective about it's just a moment? And that your afflictions are only for a moment? In reality of eternity, it is really just a, what did I talk about Wednesday? A vapor appears for a little while and then vanishes away. It is something that, again, and when I can comprehend what lies ahead of us, guess what you can deal with today? You can deal with the present. You can deal with the present circumstances because you mentally know this is light compared to where I'm headed. It doesn't feel that way, but when I can learn to put things in perspective, I can view it that way, and I can realize, and the other phrase that this too shall pass. Because the afflictions, and you may have the affliction, you know what, you might be somebody that's been sick your whole life. You have dealt with just not feeling well your whole life. But you know what? Your spiritual, inward person, if it's being renewed day by day, guess where you'll end up? You'll end up in heaven, where all the weight is, and you will understand that this is just brief compared to where I am heading. And I would like to believe that those whom I know who are handling afflictions of life on a daily basis, and they're doing it well, are doing so knowing that it will pass. It will pass. And in heaven, afflictions will be gone. That's why we love this passage. That's why we sing this verse. No tears in heaven, no sorrows given. All will be joy, glory in that land. For God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And that's why we love that so much, because we understand this is for a moment. And if I will be faithful to God, He's promised me the eternal, exalted, most excellent state that has all the weight compared to what is light now. And so what does He do? He says, well, let me tell you another contrast. He says, there are things that you see, and there are things that you don't see. And you know, to press on, you have to see this point, and that pun was intended. To see this point, you're going to have to be able to see this point. We walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 7. You increase your faith and you see what is most important more clearly. It works that way. You increase your faith and you will see eternal things more clearly. So, I would say spend time in the Word. We do not look at the things we can see. We look at the things we can't see. Sounds strange. But the only way I can know to be able to do this is by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the more I know God, which we've been studying about in our Sunday evening lessons, the more I know His Word, the more I can know and see things that are not seen. The Bible talks about history. It talks about things which I did not see. It talks about miracles, which I did not witness. It talks about a place that Jesus has gone to prepare, which I have never been, and heaven being the dwelling place of God. But how do I see them? How do I know them? By my faith. And because of that, Colossians 3 and verse 1, I set my affections on things above. That's where I look. That's where I see. I see things that are not seen. So notice he says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. How do you handle the light afflictions of life that are for a moment? You see what you cannot see. You walk by faith and not by sight. So Paul, in Romans chapter 8, again holding your place, in Romans chapter 8, he does talk about what happens, though. You have two minds that wrestle one another within your brain. It's the carnal mind and it is the spiritual mind. And we all know that war that takes place. So notice what he says beginning in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And so you see in verse 9, but who are you? But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So again, you've got a war that takes place, and the spiritual mind needs to win out, because the spiritual mind is the one that's seeing the things that are not seen. And so another way he says is, he goes, all right, let me put it this way. Let me contrast temporary things with eternal things. So do you see that in our text? Again, coming back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you'll notice he has another contrast. Now he's using those words and he's connecting them together, but he also is saying, for the things that are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And we understand the difference between what is temporary and what is eternal. Temporary means it's going to go away. Something that is eternal, it's not. And so what we cannot see, he says, well, that's eternal. But what you do see, he says, that's temporary. Now, I want you to think about that. Look around. Look around your house in your mind. Think about all of the things that you see. Think about Muscle Shoals area, Tuscumbia, all that. Just think about all of these things. He says, all the things you can see. He says, that's just temporary. It's not going to last. It's not going to last at all. In fact, that's what Peter was talking about when he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are therein or in it will be burned up. It'll all be gone. It's temporary. It's temporary. Even your body that I can physically see is temporary. It goes back to the dust. And when Jesus raises it up out of the grave, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, it'll be changed. So even that'll be gone. So concentrate on what you can't see. And that is the eternal things. You know that's true. So you have to answer the question that Peter then asked in the next verse. He says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? That's a direct question to each of us, to you, to me. Well, knowing that that's going to happen, what kind of person should you be? That's a great question. So how do I deal with afflictions? Well, I understand they're temporary. They're really for just a moment. And they truly just have a light load. They're not heavy. And notice one last point that the Apostle Paul makes here. When he also makes this hyperbole, he says, verse 17, for our light affliction is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This is an Ophir emphasis, a far more exceeding. It reminds me of when he says God is able to do abundantly beyond every, you know, he adds every kind of word to say that it's that much more. That's what he's doing here. Far, and so here it is, your light affliction, which is but for a moment, What is it working for you? It's working for us, for you, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So your light afflictions are actually working for something that is far more exceeding, beyond all comparison. You know who translates that? English Standard Version. It is beyond all comparison. Now you can latch on to that, can't you? You can't compare it to anything. Your light affliction is for a moment, and it's working for you a far more exceedingly abundantly above all. So your light affliction is working for you to something that far outweighs everything else. So as you go through life and you deal with these things, hopefully we can have the right mindset and the right attitude to be able to conquer the things that often will cause discouragement, cause depression, sometimes cause us to be pressed down to the point almost to despair. And yet God would have us to see things far greater and realize that what He has lying before us is far greater. I hope that helps in some way. You might be here and you're not a Christian. In our Bible study, we've been studying through the book of Acts, it becomes very clear that there is a gospel message. There is a message that is taught, and the people who heard the word of God, they were told, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. And so they willingly began to believe that Jesus Christ was in fact the Son of God. He was the one that God chose to save the world. And they were willing to repent. They were willing to turn from their sins, willing to change their way of life, change their mind, make it up, and turn to God and serve Him. You see that in the Old Testament. They'd wander away and they'd make up their mind, we're going to serve the Lord. And so, repentance. We would see their willingness to confess their belief in Christ. Jesus Himself said that you have to confess Him before men. Because if you won't acknowledge Him, you won't be willing to say you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then He's going to deny you before His Father in heaven. So Paul would say, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You have to believe that Jesus did come forth from the grave. With all your heart, you confess the Lord Jesus. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 8 and 9. And then as we've been clearly seeing in the study of Acts, that those that were inquiring, what must I do? They were told to be baptized. For what reason? For remission of sins, to wash your sins away. And so Tim was even checking this morning. The baptistry's good to go. We have water. It's here. Things are ready. You can be baptized and wash your sins away even this morning. If you're a child of God and things are amiss in your life, you need to confess sin. We're here to pray with you and for you. If there are things that you are discouraged about, we can help you by helping know your circumstances, be helping you, uplifting that burden, because that's one of the things Christians do, is we help lighten the load. If we can help anyone in any way, Steve has selected this song, and let's all stand and sing it, and we invite you to come.